Welcome to Brown Teacher Reads. This is Mina Mullick, the brown teacher you always wished was in charge of your English class when you went through high school. Today's episode, I will be talking about the Severus Snape mini mixtape that I made. This is a sample assignment that goes along with an assignment I created for the novel Dava Shastri's Last Day. If you don't know, I'm creating some assignments that could go along with Dava Shastri's Last Day for high school English teachers or even community college English teachers to use. One of the assignments is called the Shastri Person Family Portrait Mini Mixtape. I know, it's a huge mouthful, but it goes along with the idea in the novel of a mixtape as a literary device. And I thought that was a really fascinating aspect in the novel, and I really haven't seen that in anything I've read up to this point. And I thought, why don't I try to hone in on this awesome literary device? And therefore, I created an assignment that uses a mixtape as a literary device. I think it's totally awesome, and honestly, don't you wish that your teacher in high school asked you to make a mixtape about a book or a character? Totally awesome. Well, because I do believe in always providing samples for my students for Strange or really any project that they're assigned, I created this sample and I decided to use Severus Snape or Harry Potter because it's an easily accessible reference for many people to be able to relate to and understand, but also because I didn't want to ruin the possibilities of the mixtapes that might come out about this book. And I also didn't want to put a mixtape out there for people to cheat off of. You know, I am a teacher, what can I say? I wish I could play the music from it, but I can't. You can go ahead and listen to my playlist on Spotify, and you can also scan the QR code that I've created. I think that is so cool. And really major props to Lily's Library, run by Lily Singh, who did this idea of QR code. That's where I stole it from. And also Kirthana Ramisetti, who did put her mixtape for the novel Dava Shastri's Last Day on Spotify. So it's just so cool because look at how technology is making our lives so easy and how it's making books so much fun. Without further ado, I'm going to go into the Severus Snape mini mixtape and talk all about it. So this mixtape is called The Prince's Tape. Ah, so cute. As I go through the songs and everything else in the next part of this podcast, I'm just going to be reading from the justification that I have written on the write-up that goes along with the mixtape, just as an example of, you know, what you might expect if this was an actual assignment in your class. So the first thing is just the mixtape title and song order. So how would I explain what the title is and what order the songs are in? The Prince's Tape is a reference to the chapter title The Prince's Tale from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. This chapter reveals all about Severus Snape from his own perspective, which is very unique to the novel. Since Snape is in such a delicate position as a double agent, his memories about himself are the only ones we can trust to tell us the truth about him. The songs are ordered chronologically in the order they would have occurred in Snape's life. So now I'm jumping into the songs. I'm so excited to share them with you guys. So there are 5 songs in this mixtape, and the first song is called The Only Exception. It's by Paramore. The second song is called Creep, and it's by Radiohead. This is what my friend Julia from high school suggested to me. And I was so excited to get Radiohead, which is like such a huge British band, especially at the time of Harry Potter, like in his life. I feel like if he was in England and he was a muggle, I mean, he's pretty in tune with muggles, right? And muggle culture. I feel like he would have definitely been a Radiohead fan or at least known about Radiohead. The third song is called Easier to Run by Linkin Park. The fourth song is called Midnight by Coldplay. Once again, super stoked to get another British rock band in there. And the fifth song is called In the End, and it's by Linkin Park. So now I'm just going to go through the songs one at a time and read to you the justifications that I wrote up for them and why I chose them. So the first song, The Only Exception by Paramore, this is a song that represents Snape's childhood, specifically his family life and his love for Lily Potter. Snape has a tumultuous home life with constant arguing between his parents. The song speaks of a troubled childhood. When I was younger, I saw my daddy cry, with similar tensions between the songwriter's parents. Snape has one friend who cares about him and pays attention to him, Lily. He falls in love with her at a young age. She is the only exception in his life who proves that love does exist and someone Snape repeatedly takes risks for throughout his life. Tell me if you think this is like totally the perfect love ballad for Snape and Lily's romance, or should I say missed romance. The next song is Creep by Radiohead. Love this song. This song represents Snape when he's a teenager, and it's Snape pining after Lily when he knows he's losing to James. Snape goes through his teenage years and feels more awkward and less worthy of having his love or undisguised greed for Lily reciprocated. Awkward and odd as a child, he particularly struggles during adolescence and comes off as both a creep and weirdo. When he compares himself with James, he is overcome with bitterness and dislike and feels more self-conscious and not special enough to win Lily's affection. Snape seems so insecure, and this song sums it up perfectly. Don't you think that is so true? As a note, disclaimer, my friend Julia did say she does not automatically think of Snape every time she hears this song, but when she was asked to think of a song that represented Snape, this was like one that easily came to mind. And now if I ever hear the song like randomly, I will probably just end up laughing thinking about Snape. Although, you know, it's not really funny like what he goes through as a teenager, but just laughing at this connection between the song. It just makes the song have a concrete type of music video in my mind, and it also gives Snape's struggle at that time in his life another dimension of feeling, like you can hear what it might sound like. Also, teenage insecurity and angst and romance and love and crushes, this is all so painful and so awkward and so weird and misguided. And yeah, sometimes I just think back on things and I'm like, oh my God, kind of laugh out loud and kind of also cringe to the max. The third song is Easier to Run by Linkin Park. Linkin Park was one of my favorite bands going through the end of elementary school through junior high. I really stopped being such a fan of them once they came out with their something Minutes to Midnight or something album. I was really crushed when the singer Chester committed suicide. It was really like painful for me because they spent so much time with me going through all my really crazy tumultuous feelings as a tweenager, if I can say that. After he died, I remember I just sat there and I just listened to like all of the Linkin Park albums in order to just like grieve, I guess. It was really weird, and I wasn't really listening to music all that much at the time when I did it. And it was really intense. And I'm really sad that that happened and that he left the world in that way. It's heartbreaking. I know I'm not the only one who feels like that. I know a lot of other Linkin Park fans were very, very shook when that happened. So one of the reasons why Linkin Park comes up twice in this mixtape is because Linkin Park tends to have some really dark and raw songs which talk about really intense things. And I feel like Snape's life is just tragic and equally as intense. So it kind of worked out perfectly. So Easier to Run by Linkin Park is a song about Snape losing Lily at Hogwarts and also Snape losing Lily when she dies. Snape realizes how many mistakes he made with Lily, whether it was calling her the unforgivable word mudblood in school or sharing everything from the prophecy with Lord Voldemort, which led to Lily's death. Snape's secret love for Lily, the one he asks Dumbledore to never reveal, is the one taken from deep inside of him when Lily dies. It has haunted him and wounded him deeply. The lyrics' focal point on regret and anguish, along with the strong, scream-like vocals from Chester Bennington, capture Snape's most intense moments of pain. Capturing Snape's constant regret, on the other hand, is the repetitive, murmuring vocals from Mike Shinoda, which mimic the whispering, ever-present remorse Snape has for his decisions and choices that led to the loss of the person he loved and cared for the most in the world. The fourth song is Midnight by Coldplay. This song to me represents Snape giving the Sword of Gryffindor to Harry in the forest, in the seventh book. This song is chosen for the scene where Snape uses his Patronus to lure Harry out of cover to deliver the Sword of Gryffindor to him. The silver-white doe, moonbright and dazzling, is an actual light for Harry and symbolizes hope for Harry. Snape buoys the trio up while they're lost in their mission hunting Horcruxes, rolling with the punches and the swirling of the storm. There are disorienting, surreal sounds within this song. The splintering manipulation of the vocals is layered with echo-like harmonies. The singing is placed on top of the simple, repetitive alternations between two notes and seems almost hypnotic. The sounds within the music mimic the scene's disorienting, surreal feeling as Harry walks through an unfamiliar forest following a dreamlike apparition. The last song in this mixtape is In the End, also by Linkin Park. For other Linkin Park fans, I'm sorry to just harp on about this, but oh my god, this was like such a big anthem, and this was like one of their first singles, I think, that was really popular and it was played on the radio and everything. What a great song. In the End, to me, is about Snape realizing Harry has to die in the end anyways to defeat Voldemort. So here it goes. This song overlaps with Snape's life at many moments in the chapter The Prince's Tale. But its most important reference is to Snape's attempt to protect Harry for Lily. This song summarizes his pain and frustration when Snape realizes that Harry ultimately has to sacrifice himself in order to defeat Voldemort. In the end, everything Snape did doesn't even matter. Alternatively, the song can refer to the act of divulging his memories with Harry to explain in due time Snape's life and how it is intermingled with Harry's. It explains how Snape will never end up with Lily and how Snape is forced to kill Dumbledore. Tragically, Snape surrenders any last hope to enjoy a life full of the redemption he's earned because he can only reveal this when he's dying. Tell me what you think of the Severus Snape mini mixtape that I created. Do you want to create your own Severus Snape mini mixtape? And if you do, please share it with me. I would love to share it with my listeners. You can also go to my Instagram at brownteacherreads and check out snippets of the songs in Severus Snape's mini mixtape on there, because I don't think I will get in trouble for copyright issues. I would love if you would share this mini mixtape with your friends who are also Harry Potter fans, particularly if they have strong feelings either way about Snape, because, you know, Snape is such a divisive character. If you'd also like to hear a little bit more about Snape, go over to my Instagram and check out a video I made. It's called A Harry Potter Voicemail. It's based off of the voicemails that the very famous podcast Harry Potter and the Sacred Text asks listeners to send in when they've had musings or reflections about something in the novel. I'm also including the audio for that voicemail right here. It's about Snape and his love of Lily. I was thinking about Severus Snape today, you know, just the normal thing someone thinks about when they're driving their car. And I was thinking about how he hates potions, supposedly, but he's so good at it and he'd rather teach Defense Against the Dark Arts. So I'm thinking about book three and I'm listening along with Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, this awesome podcast you all need to listen to if you're Harry Potter fans. And so I was just thinking, like, but Snape is so good at potions. Like, normally when you're really good at a subject in school, you also really love it. And I mean, I would know, right, as a high school English teacher, like going through school myself and also seeing all my students and everything. And so I was just thinking about how the only other person I can remember at Snape's time who was also really good at potions was Lily Potter, or I guess you'd say Lily Evans. And so it just got me thinking that, what if Snape realized that Lily was so good at potions, and maybe Gryffindors and Slytherins always have potions together, and so maybe he really was trying to impress her or try to be her equal or want to share a bench with her so they could have like some together time at Hogwarts. You know how it is when you're a teenager and you have a crush on someone. And so I was just thinking, like, what if Snape like got so good at potions just to impress Lily Evans? And I thought that was so cute and also kind of so sad because he is such a good potions master and he can brew Wolfsbane, and I think it's so epic that he's like that skilled and like, you know, he helps Dumbledore with the ring and everything. I don't know if that was with a potion, but regardless, it reminded me of a story that someone in my extended family told me. So these two people, they're married and they're both doctors, and their oldest son, they wanted him to be a doctor, but he was like, I'm gonna go into political science because I just wanna spite you guys. You know, the typical thing, like brown kids, second generation from immigrant families, they're just like, I'm not gonna do what you tell me to do because I know being a doctor would be super secure and super smart, but I'm not doing it. Like, forget this. And so, you know, it's interesting because his parents were telling me that all of a sudden they get this call and their son's like, hey, like I'm majoring in biology. And they were just like, what? And it turns out that there was a girl that he really liked and she was also majoring in biology and she wanted to go to med school. And so literally like he just started applying himself so much in these subjects that he before in high school claimed to hate and had no interest in. And I thought this was so funny. And I mean, this person is like in their 50s or 40s or something right now, like this kid I'm telling you guys about. And it's just so funny because it really reminded me of Snape, because I was just thinking, like, how could Snape like apply himself to the point where he's experimenting with potions, like doing clockwise instead of counterclockwise and crushing the pod and with the blade instead of trying to chop it, you know? Just thinking, like, who would spend all of their free time doing this? It also makes me so sad for Snape because I'm like, you were such a nerd, which I was also a nerd, but I was like, you probably needed more friends, or you were just really, really determined to get Lily and you were willing to put any amount of time into figuring out how to impress her and get her attention. And so anyways, Severus Snape, he's such an interesting character. I freaking love him. And I have a Severus Snape mixtape coming out soon. I'm just waiting for Ramadan to be over before I unleash that into the world. So yeah, let me know if you think Severus Snape got so good at potions, wrote in his whole Half-Blood Prince book just to impress Lily and try to win her over. For teachers out there who are interested in using this assignment alongside Dava Shastri's Last Day, if they're reading it in their class, or really, honestly, any other novel that they are reading, you can go to my website, brownteacherreads.com, and find access to a Google Drive folder that has the instructions for the whole project, including the write-up and how to find the songs, also how to create a QR code, and like the listening party you would have in class, and the types of feedback the students will leave each other on the mixtapes that they've made in groups. And you can also find the template for the write-up. I tend to like to use templates for really strange things like this because otherwise it's just gonna be a hot mess and you won't be able to really grade easily what you're seeing because it'll be all crazy. And then there's also a template for a little cassette graphic that you could print out and have your students decorate to go alongside their little QR code. I think this is also really cool, the idea of the listening party or the mixtape party, whatever you want to call it, in class, because students would literally be encouraged and even asked to bring their phones, bring headphones, and use them in class. And when do high schoolers these days not want an excuse to be listening to music in class during class time? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Brown Teacher Reads. I hope to catch you next time. Make sure you head over to brownteacherreads.com to check out the details of the assignments and documents I painstakingly created. Hopefully, I can actually see that this type of project is used in an actual high school setting. If you are a high school English teacher or even teach at a college level, please let me know, drop me an email, and tell me that you're using this mini mixtape project in your class and tell me which book you're using it with. Stay tuned for another episode coming very soon that will be a wrap-up of the assignments and assessments I've created for Dava Shastri's last day. Don't forget to check out the mini mixtape yourself about Severus Snape. You can scan the QR code I've created directly to the Spotify playlist. You can find that on Instagram, on Twitter, or on my website at brownteacherreads.com. I'm so excited to finally share this with everyone. This is Mina Mullick, and you've been listening to Brown Teacher Reads, the brown literature circle you always wanted to be a part of. Thank you, as always, to my husband, my sisters, and my brother for supporting me so much in this project. Until next time.